Please turn with me to Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. How many people here know that Jesus never threw words around, that Jesus never exaggerated, that Jesus never told a joke? You realize that? Never. Not even one single time. And when Jesus said in Luke 13:24, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to," Jesus wasn't joking. And this word effort, as I pointed out before, it means to agonize. Put on a real effort, Jesus is saying. Not everybody that believes there's a narrow door or eternal life or that God exists will find salvation, will have eternal life. You make every effort. Didn't say make some effort. He said make every effort. Now this morning I'm going to preach a sermon which will, I guarantee, hold the interest of at least 50% of you, and probably a few of you won't be very interested in this sermon because it's entitled "The Why and How of Memorizing Scripture." Why am I going to preach a message on this? Because for the 13 years that I've been a Christian, the best thing that I have ever done for me was to get serious about memorizing Scripture. The best. I've fasted, I've prayed extensively, and as wonderful as those things are, and I'm not trying to belittle the importance of fasting and praying, but nothing has put a fire in me and helped me in my Christian walk like memorizing Scripture. And I have never heard even one sermon preached on the importance of memorizing Scripture in a church. Never. Not even in full gospel churches. Ever. There is, however, a ministry on the radio. And from time to time, this particular radio ministry, they do emphasize the importance of memorizing Scripture. And those of you that have ever heard of Jack Van Impe, they call him the Walking Bible. He's memorized 10,000 Bible verses, which is supposedly the equivalent to the New Testament. You can listen to him when he teaches and preaches, and it sounds, or it looks rather, just like he's reading everything word for word right by the camera, but he's not. He's quoting the Bible from memory. How in the world can he do that? Well, I'm going to share some information with you this morning that I've gathered on how to memorize. But before I go over that, how to memorize, I want you to see the importance of memorizing. So the first part of my sermon is going to be entitled "The Why of Memorizing Scripture." We need incentive. Really, I think it comes down just to a proper revelation of what we have in our hands when we hold the Bible in our hands. Do you realize that this is precious, eternal truth that is God's gift to mankind that enables us to know what the final court of appeals is in all matters of faith and practice? The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 89, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." So you see, it's eternal. John 17:17 says, Jesus praying to the Father, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." So you see, it's truth. It's eternal and it's truth. The Bible also says about the Bible that it is precious. And this verse is found several places. One in particular is Psalm 119, verse 72. "The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold." Is that how you view the Bible? That it's that precious? If somebody would say to you, would you rather have thousands of pieces of silver and gold? Gold right now is going for somewhere around $430, $440 an ounce. If you had a couple of thousand pieces of gold like that, you would be rich. But the Bible says about the Bible that this is more precious. God's word is more precious than that. And of course, 2 Timothy 3:16, Scripture is inspired by God or God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Okay, so it's the final court of appeals. It's eternal truth that's precious, and it's the final word in all matters of faith and practice. Now, usually when somebody hears the importance of memorizing Scripture, the devil and the flesh, did you know that the flesh has a voice of its own? Different yet similar to the devil's voice. Some people wonder if the devil can read your mind. No. But the flesh has a voice of its own that's contrary to God's will, according to Ephesians 2, that will oppose anything that's good for us to do. And these two sources will give us thoughts, such as, you're too old, you can't memorize. Or you can't get it, somebody else can memorize it, but you can't do it. Well, all you have to do is ask yourself a question. Wait a minute. If I can't do it, if I'm too old, then how in the world did I memorize all these birth dates of my loved ones? And how did I learn that nine-digit hyphenated number called a Social Security number? And my telephone number? And my address? So you can't memorize. You know why you memorize those things? Because you felt those things were that important to be memorized. Now, God's Word is much more important than any of those things. So you can memorize. Don't believe what the devil says, because the devil definitely doesn't want us to have God's Word in us like the Bible says we need to have, to make every effort to enter that narrow door. One of the best ways to make every effort, I guarantee, is to memorize Scripture. A third reason why people don't memorize Scripture is that they're just not disciplined enough to do it. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, it says that he who loves discipline loves knowledge. Proverbs 15:32 says, he who ignores discipline despises himself. You know, if you're disciplined, you're going to benefit yourself. I guarantee not only yourself, but others as well. You're going to be a blessing to those that you love the most if you're disciplined and you do what is right. If it's on the job, or if it's in this kind of context in a spiritual way. Okay, now since God's Word is that important and we can memorize, what else do we see here regarding the subject? I wonder just how important Jesus felt about memorizing Scripture. Well, we see indirectly when the devil came to Jesus, Jesus quoted Scripture. You know, Jesus had to learn Scripture. Even though he is the Word of God, he had to grow in wisdom. He had to learn it because he was just an ordinary person like you and me, besides being God. He's the God-man, but he had to learn, and he memorized Scripture, which is apparent. When the devil came to him, he quoted Scripture, which happened to be from the book of Deuteronomy three times. So Jesus, by example, shows that it's that important. Stephen preached a sermon right before he was martyred, quoted Scripture about 10 times. Didn't even know he'd be preaching that sermon. The best summary of the entire Old Testament is Stephen's farewell speech before they stoned him to death. Paul was the same. He had God's Word in him. But I want to say one thing about the Apostle Paul. Not only did he know Scripture, but Paul also knew the reference where it was at. And that's found in Acts chapter 13, verse 33. He's witnessing to a group of people. He's trying to convince them about Messiah Jesus. And quotes a passage from Psalm 2 and identifies it from Psalm 2. So he gives the reference. You know, if it was important enough for the Apostle Paul to know the reference, I think it would benefit us greatly if we too knew the reference. And I guarantee, if you bear with me, I guarantee that you can memorize Scripture. You're going to be amazed. If you're diligent and you apply the things that you're going to hear here this morning, I guarantee that you're going to benefit in multiple ways. In a secular way, and of course that is almost next to nothing in comparison to the spiritual. You will be more alert mentally if you memorize. You will, if you memorize Scripture, you're going to start to notice words that you never noticed before in whatever you read. If it's the Bible, or if it's something on the job, or if it's a newspaper or whatever. So you're going to benefit in that way, besides the fact that you're going to benefit in multiple ways spiritually. Okay, now I mentioned the why of memorizing Scripture. Let me deal with that first. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Let's back up a few chapters to chapter 8. Verse 12. The context is the parable of the sower. Jesus is teaching about the different types of people. And here Jesus makes a remarkable statement about the devil, our adversary. What does he say? He says that the evil one, the enemy, Satan, comes to do what? Snatch or steal the word away from the heart. Now, the context is the heart of the unbeliever. I said the devil doesn't want God's word in a person's heart. Okay, now, if the devil is bent on destroying us and devouring us, not only the unbeliever, but especially the believer. He has the unbeliever. He wants to hold them in darkness. He wants to ruin us. Then if he will be that vicious in attacking the Word of God, if it's in our heart, I wonder just how important it must be. It tells us indirectly, hey, that must be extremely important to have the Word of God there if the devil, who shows no mercy, he doesn't have anything good in mind for us, if he wants that Word of God out of our heart. It must be pretty important. Well, you know, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, it's not real specific, but it says that God's Word is at work in us who believe. It's working. It's doing things. I'm going to show you in a few minutes some of the things that it does in the heart of a believer. Here it says, if you would read on down through Luke chapter 8, that the Word of God in the heart of an unbeliever would cause that person to believe eventually. That's what it seems to be implying. And the devil doesn't want that person to end up getting saved, so snatches the Word away. Doesn't the Bible say in 1 Peter 1:23? Doesn't it say in 1 Peter 1:23 that we're saved or born again through the Word of God that lives and abides forever? Okay, so you see, you need the Word of God. Okay, now, Romans 10:17, who knows what that says? Romans 10:17 declares how faith comes. How's it come? By hearing the Word of God. By hearing the Word of God. Okay, so point one, the why of memorizing Scripture. Because getting God's Word in our heart precedes believing, and it precedes faith. All these good things that I just mentioned come from the Word of God. That's why the devil doesn't want us to have the Word of God in us. Now, the Bible tells us another reason why we need to memorize Scripture. It says that we grow spiritually by it. We grow in a natural way by taking in food. We grow in a spiritual way by taking in food. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babes crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And a very remarkable statement, Acts 20:32, tells us that elders at Ephesus could grow and be strengthened by the Word of God. Well, they were already leaders. They were already mature. They were already strengthened, but they could even grow and be strengthened even more with the Word of God. So regardless what kind of status we may be spiritually, the Word of God can and will most definitely benefit us. That's the second reason why we need to memorize. Now, here's one of the most important reasons. The Christian life is really a battle against sin. I say that based on Hebrews 12, verse 4. And if we could figure out a way, or find out a way, how we could impede or slow up our sinning, well, then that obviously would be a tremendous advantage for us. Well, the Bible tells us how. It says in Psalm 119, 9 through 11, How can a young man keep his life pure? By living according to your word. I have hidden your word in my heart, the Bible says in verse 11, that I might not sin against you. So we hide his word in our heart, and the Bible says it will stop us from sinning against Almighty God. Okay, now, John 17:17 is very similar to that. Jesus said that we're sanctified by the word of God. If the word of God is truth, and if the truth sanctifies, then the word of God sanctifies. That's what John 17:17 says. I like what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12:21. He said, don't be overcome by evil, overcome evil by good. Okay, now right here we find out just how we can do that, at least one of the ways. We overcome evil, sinning, by doing good, memorizing Scripture. We're hiding God's word in our heart. Hiding it in our heart. Keeping it in our heart. Okay, now let me give you another important reason. Not only does it impede sinning, it prevents backsliding. And if we have ever been in a backsliding era, ever, it has to be right now. Remember what Jesus taught in Matthew 25? He said, 5 out of 10 of the virgins won't make it. At 50%. They had a fire for God and the fire burned out. Well, if it stops us from backsliding, if it prevents us from backsliding, what scripture can I base that on? Hebrews 2:1. We must be more careful. We must pay more careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. The word backslide is not in the New Testament, but its equivalent is drifting away. If you pay careful attention to the Word of God, you won't drift away. That's what the Bible says. It'll stop us from drifting away. And there are some very awesome statements found in the Word of God regarding the thoughts that we entertain. I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. One of the most important things that you could ever do, now that you're a Christian, is to be very cautious about the thoughts that you entertain in your mind, especially during your leisure time. Hebrews 11:14-15 says that if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. And then Romans 13:14 says, rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Don't even think about such things. You know why? Because what instigated that thought to begin with was the devil. Don't dwell on those evil imaginations, because that'll tend to motivate your behavior. That's the teaching of the Bible. That's why in Hebrews 11:14-15, they would have had opportunity to go back if they had been thinking of that kind of lifestyle. So we have to be careful of the thoughts that we entertain. Okay, let me share something else here. We find out a fifth reason. The key to success and prosperity spiritually, Joshua 1:8, is meditating in God's Word, so that we can do everything that's written therein. The key to success from God's perspective and prosperity from God's perspective is to keep God's word in our mind and in our heart. A sixth reason why we need to memorize Scripture. Psalm 119:99 declares that memorizing imparts spiritual insight. And if we have ever needed discernment, it has to be right now in this day and age. Much deception. Many people being deceived. Much false doctrine rampant. We will know what is right and what is wrong based upon the Word of God. Now, here's one that I definitely want you to turn to. The seventh reason is Memorizing frees us from sin, which is similar to some of the others I cited, but yet different. John 8, 31 and 32. John chapter 8, 31 and 32 says this. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The Word of God. Psalm 119, 45. This verse reads, "I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts." Notice the privilege that we have to walk in spiritual freedom because we seek out the Word of God. It has such power in it to deliver us. Now, getting back to the parable of the sower, in Luke chapter 8, verse 15 gives us the key to fruitfulness, which is, Jesus said, "The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering they produce a crop." The words "retain" means keep in memory. You need to make a note of that because that's what the Greek says. It means keep in memory. So obviously, if you're memorizing the Word of God, you're keeping it in memory. It will, according to Jesus, bring forth fruit if you keep it there and you persevere. A crop will follow, Jesus said. So you could put this down for point number 8, the wise memorizing scripture. It's imperative for fruitfulness, according to Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Now here's one that I think is very, very, very good. I like this one. Point number 9. It makes and keeps one spiritually zealous. When I was at my height in memorizing Scripture, I felt like a volcano inside, like I was ready to erupt. And I'm not kidding you. It says in the book of Jeremiah, this is found in chapter 20, verse 9. Jeremiah said, "God's word was like a burning fire." That's how he experienced God's word in his life. It was shut up in his bones, like a volcano. Well, you know, the Bible tells us in Romans 12, 11, that we are never to be lacking in zeal, but to keep our spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And Apollos was an example of someone that was a fulfillment of Romans chapter 12, verse 11. And in chapter 18 of the book of Acts, we learn something about Apollos, that he was a man that had a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures, the Bible says. This is Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28. It says, in verse 24, that he had a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord and spoke with great fervor. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Verse 26. The Bible says in verse 27 that he was of great help to those who by grace had believed. Notice verse 28. He vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. He was bold, he was vigorous, he was fervent. Why? He had a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures based on the Word of God. Just like the Word of God affected Jeremiah, the Word of God affected Apollos. It was burning in him. And he had that boldness, and he knew what was right and what was wrong. And just knowing what's right and what's wrong will give you a boldness in itself. But he had that extra boldness because the Word of God is a fire. The 10th reason why we need to memorize Scripture is that we are being obedient to Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. These verses say that since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. True values are received through the Word of God. Your priorities will be set in order if you keep your mind on God's Word. And I'd like to add this. You will have a true understanding of reality, a full understanding of reality, because reality isn't just what we see here in the natural. It's the spiritual as well. There's much spiritual activity going on. The world can't see that. We know from the Bible there are demons and angels. We know that because we're believers, we have authority over the powers of darkness because of the name of Jesus, that we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover, that we can preach a message that will change a person's eternal destiny, that they can be saved from a place called hell. Jesus said hell was a reality. And when you refresh your mind with the Word of God, you're brought back into true reality, and your values and your priorities are right where they should be. Your mind is not just on the things of this life. To some degree, our minds must be on the things of this life. But they're not just on those things. They're on things beyond the grave, on spiritual things, because our mind is on the Word. It all comes back to two things, doesn't it? The Word of God and prayer. But right here, I'm emphasizing this morning the Word of God. It comes right back around to that. If you love God and you're seeking God, you're going to seek God through the Bible. You're going to seek Him by taking His Word in you. If you value the Bible, if you realize that the Bible really is what it is, it'll just follow. I don't care what kind of price I have to pay. It's that important. This is God's Word. I am going to hide it in my heart and in my mind. I'm going to learn what God has said, and I am going to keep it in me. That's the tenth reason why we need to memorize Scripture. 11th reason is, we see in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22, that it is medicine to us. And this medicine, this spiritual medicine, will bring us peace. And we need peace, don't we? Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, and Romans 8, verse 6, teach that peace will come to us if our minds are on the Word of God. Number 12, we need to memorize Scripture because it spurs others on to do the same. It says in Hebrews 10:24 that we are to spur others on toward love and good deeds. Well, when I hear Jack Van Impe, it spurs me on in a way that I cannot tell you to memorize Scripture. I hear him and I am spurred on by his example, and what a tremendous price he has paid, but it's worth it. I heard that he reviews. He doesn't keep taking new verses on. He just reviews Scripture for several hours a day. Now, of course, he's up to 10,000 verses, so it certainly won't take us that long to do the work in Scripture that we have to do. But he's been at this for a long time, and of course, he's in full-time ministry for the Lord, so he would have an advantage over you to do that. But that man, when he preaches, it's just unbelievable how he handles the Word of God. And there's nothing like that. We're told that we are to contend for the faith. We need to have answers. And if you have the Word of God in your mouth because you spent the time memorizing it, it'll be that easy, just like your name, to give to somebody. Where's that added in the Bible? And you can say, just like Paul did, well, that's Psalm 2, or that's John 3:16, or that's Acts 20:21, or Revelation 20:15, or whatever. You can tell them that easy. It'll come because you're acquainted with the Word of God. 13th reason, 2 Peter 3:18, Peter caps off his second and last epistle with these words, that we are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a very important thing to study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Peter. And when you're memorizing Scripture, you're doing that, and there's a definite benefit just in that itself. We're not told specifically just the benefit in it, but we know it's there. A 14th reason, it renews the mind so that we in turn can be transformed. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says how the process is accomplished. We are transformed, this is written to Christians, mind you, by the Word of God, having the Word of God in our mind. Somebody mentioned not long ago we were talking about memorizing Scripture. Because of the many uncertainties that we face in this life, and only one thing is really certain, and that is that we face many uncertainties. Whatever kind of future we have before us, it certainly would be a real safeguard if we have the Word of God in our heart and in our mind. What if our Bibles would be taken away from us? The most precious thing that we could have. What if you wouldn't have access to a Bible? If you had God's Word memorized, you would still have that in you. You would still know truth from error because of the light that's in your heart and in your mind. So that's a very good way to make every effort to enter that narrow door. I hope you can see that. Okay, now, I'd like to go into the second area of my sermon this morning. You just heard why we need to memorize. I'm going to share some things with you this morning that I guarantee will help you in memorizing. The how to memorize is coming up. Let me say this before I really get started. The two best helps for memorizing anything is repetition and association. I'm going to talk about both of these this morning. When you were in high school, you had to memorize. And one of the chief ways that you did that, just like I did it, was to go over and over and over and over, and of course that's repetition. Perhaps you remember your teacher telling you to write it out. And you know that's true, that works. But I went to a library and I wanted to find out what I could find out on how to memorize, because I realized from the Word of God just how important this is. And I found this out, and I want to share it with you. Our mind is like a computer. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. Okay, now, the best time, according to studies on this subject of mnemonics, or how to memorize, would be in the morning after you wake up, or after you take a sleep, a snooze, like for the first 15 minutes after, to review whatever it is that you want to memorize, and right before you go to sleep. Now, this is something else I learned. Read it out loud. I cannot tell you the troubles that will vanish if whatever it is that you want to memorize, and of course we're talking about memorizing Scripture, if you look at it and you speak it out loud. I have memorized today John 3:16, and I didn't even try to memorize it. I heard it quoted so many times, just like you. I heard that thing quoted and quoted and quoted and quoted and quoted and quoted and quoted. And there's something about us hearing something over and over and over and over and over that will automatically stick in our memory. So, work at it. Over and over and over, speak it out loud. And I've learned this from personal experience. When I take on a new verse that I want to memorize, it usually takes me, depending upon how long the passage might be, sometimes it might be two or three or four verses together, I might have to go over that for 3 days, once or twice a day, along with some other verses. At one point in time, I was learning 10 verses a week. Of course, you don't have to do that many. You could only do two or three or four a week. But if you would go over it, maybe read it out loud and concentrate on it 4 times in one day. Maybe 4 times in the morning, maybe once or twice before you go to sleep. You're going to find out on that third or fourth day, all of a sudden, if you were having a lot of trouble with it before, maybe you will be different. Just like that, all of a sudden, you'll have it. And that's exactly how it works. I've seen that happen at least 50 to 100 times in my own life memorizing Scripture. You just have to pay the price. Don't give up. The devil wants us to give up. Stay with it. Speak it out loud. Speak it out loud. Speak it out loud. If you're having a lot of trouble with it, take the time and write it out. Write it out a few times. The Bible says, all hard work brings a profit. Proverbs 14:23. It might be hard work to learn some of these verses, but I guarantee you'll profit by it. You'll profit by it if you do it. And others will profit by it too because of the knowledge that you have. There's one particular man, and I was trying to recall his name this morning, and he was a man that believed in, through prayer, what would be equivalent in our day to millions of dollars. He had an orphanage, and he had to sustain that orphanage through food coming in for the benefit of all the people there. And here, he learned a real key in prayer. After years of just praying, he learned that if he would go to the Word of God and then pray, it would make a tremendous difference in his prayer life. And I would like to recommend that when you get up in the morning, if you've been in the habit of going directly to prayer, you might consider going instead to the Word of God. If it's not memorizing Scripture, just go to the Bible and read the Bible a little while, and you'll find out that your prayers will be more fervent. I've noticed that in my own life. And it works. It really does work like that. Help you to believe and to stand firm on God's Word. Okay, now I mentioned not only repetition, but also association. Let me show you what I mean by association. Let me give you an example. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Now, when I memorize from the New International Version. Of course, you could pick any version you want, but I like the New International. Of course, that's any version that's a real translation. There are some, like the Living Bible, it's really not a translation, it's a paraphrase. But anyhow, in Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, according to the NIV, Jesus said this: "Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets." Okay, now, when I read over this, these two verses right here really spoke to me. And I realized that these verses right here, they have an obvious list in it. We're reading of different things here. We're talking about being hated and excluded and insulted, your name rejected as evil. Okay, and I'm thinking now, what would be the best way to memorize that? Okay, so I thought about this a while, and if you would employ this kind of technique, you could perhaps come up with your own little association. I came up with the word air, H-E-I-R. It's just interesting that the first letter for hate, exclude, insult, and reject, spell H-E-I-R, which helps me to memorize Luke 6, 22 and 23. And those verses go like this: "Blessed are you when you are hated, H. Excluded, E. Insulted, I. And your name rejected as evil because of the Son of Man, R." That's H-E-I-R. "For great is your reward in heaven." Jesus said, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad," or leap for joy. That is how their fathers treated the prophets. Okay, now, this little technique association will help to memorize. H-E-I-R. In the back of the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, there's a little study in the back on memorizing, and it brings out that you could correlate certain chapters and verses, and they make mention of the 3:16s. A lot of important 3:16s in the Bible. There's, of course, John 3:16, the heart of the gospel. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish but have eternal life. Then there's Malachi 3:16. Malachi 3:16 teaches that there is a scroll of remembrance for those that fear God and honor His name. Then there's 1 John 3:16, which teaches that your bodies are temples of the living God. Then there's 2 Timothy 3:16, which teaches, I cited it before, that the Word of God is final authority and our standard of truth. So we see a lot of 3:16s. I neglected to mention another one. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So we see a lot of 3:16s, and you'll see things like that. That's association. Okay, now I'm going to share two little things with you right here that will definitely encourage you. Number one, the hardest time in memorizing is right at the very beginning, getting started. It will be easier as the days roll on. And your mind is like a muscle. If you exercise your biceps, they will get stronger. If you practice memorizing, it will be easier in the future to memorize. It will be harder at first, but after a while, it'll become easier for you to memorize Scripture. So that's very encouraging. And secondly, verses that you memorized in the past that you haven't reviewed, let's say for 6 months or a year, if you go back to get those verses back in your heart where you can pull them out like that, they will come back much quicker than they did the first time. So that's encouraging. The second time will be much easier and much quicker to come to your mind and your heart. Okay, now, I'd like to show you what I have done, and of course this is only one way to do it. I went out and bought some little index cards, 4x6. And I cut the card in half this way, which will mean that I'll have this. Then I fold the card, put a nice crease in it, do the same with the other one. I type out my cards. You don't have to, of course. You could write them out. But I put it in the typewriter, and on the blank side, I type out the verse. On the reverse side, I put the book, chapter, and verse. And then I flip the card over before I cut it, and I do the same with the other one. If not, the typewriter won't hold it because it's too short. I'll do the same, and then I'll get a knife, and I'll cut it along the crease. I'll get a paper punch and punch a hole in it. And over at Leslie Dresbold's, they have a little silver clip like this, different sizes. And you can buy different sizes. And you just keep adding to your list. And you could go over them this way, looking at the verse, and see how quick you are to remember the chapter and verse by checking it on the back. And that's a good way to learn. Instant feedback. And then you could do it the other way. You could look at the book, chapter, and verse and try to quote the verse. What I'd like to recommend also, so that you can test your own accuracy and then work on improving, is to get a cassette tape player. go through it, and then you could rewind the tape and then just follow along with the cards, and you'll be able to see how accurate you were. And I'm telling you, and I speak, and I'm telling you the truth. I speak from experience with this, memorizing Scripture. It becomes a pleasure and a joy after a while to memorize Scripture. It's the truth. It's not even hard work. It's a pleasure. It's fun. And I'll tell you all the blessings. I know just a few, really. There are a lot more reasons why we should memorize Scripture than just what I gave this morning. But if you get addicted to memorizing Scripture, you're going to really be blessed because of it. And that's what I'm trying to get you to do, is to realize how serious this thing is. And to do something this simple, it's going to make a tremendous difference for you. You're going to have to fight discouragement. The devil is going to come at you with all kinds of discouragement. Now listen to me. I guarantee that the devil will try to stop you from really getting started in memorizing Scripture. If you can hang in there 3 weeks, a habit will be established. It takes 3 weeks to establish a habit, good habit or bad habit. If you can go 3 weeks, you're going to find out, just you're going to wake up in the morning, hey, I got to go get my cards because that's what I do in the morning. Or like going to church, reading the Bible, fasting, whatever. It takes 3 weeks to establish a habit. The devil will battle you because obviously he doesn't want the Word of God in you. He doesn't have to snatch it away if it doesn't get there to begin with. You won't know how to pray. You won't know how to witness. You won't know the things that we need to know. Watching out for all kind of deception if you don't have your mind illuminated with God's Word to begin with. So beware, just like the devil battles prayer, he's going to battle you memorizing Scripture. Now, I don't know if you remember or not, but probably about a month and a half ago, from Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8, I shared real quickly one Sunday morning something I stumbled across. Four benefits of the Word of God. Now, these are four extra benefits that you will receive if you get serious in memorizing. Psalm 19, 7 and 8 declares that it will revive your soul. It will make you wise. It will bring joy to your heart. And it will give you spiritual light. Some of these I already cited in other verses, but here we can add to that. It says joy to the heart, and it will revive your soul. Refresh your soul. You know, when you're discouraged, memorize Scripture. One of the greatest times of testing that I have ever gone through, I was brought as low as this rug. I spent 5 hours solid memorizing Scripture. And I'm telling you, and this is the absolute truth, it turned 180 degrees. The darkness that was in my mind was all gone. My mind was flooded and washed with the water of God's Word. And all that gloom and all that doom, gone. And I was revived. I was encouraged again. It took like 5 hours to get the medicine, Proverbs 4:22. Into me. You know, you need to take your medicine daily, your spiritual medicine, God's Word every day. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Okay, now listen to this. In conclusion, listen. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And I guarantee that you will be showing yourself a diligent seeker of God if you take serious this sermon this morning, memorizing Scripture. Like I said, I believe at the onset that it would probably really bless and encourage about half of you. Some of you probably aren't all that enthused, but those of you that are, you're going to really move on. You're going to see a difference. I'm telling you, you will see a difference. And this will help us at all times to maintain the proper priorities, because we will get not only the constant glimpse of this natural life, but a glimpse of the eternal and the spiritual, which only come through the Word of God. You need both to have your values right where they should be. You must have God's Word in your heart. You must keep it in your mind. You're going to see a difference. And I really believe when Jesus said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, a major part of that battle for us is going to be getting His Word in our mind and in our heart where we can bring it forth when we need it. Closely associated with memorizing is meditating in God's Word. And I'll tell you right now, if you're going to memorize it, you're going to have to meditate in God's Word. That's really what Joshua 1:8 was saying. I quoted that in regards to memorizing. The word is meditate. To meditate means to engage in continuous and contemplative thought. Doesn't it just come right back around again to the thoughts that you entertain? You can meditate on God's thoughts, His Word, or the devil's Word. And I guarantee it's going to affect you whichever way you choose to go regarding the thoughts that you entertain. It will make a difference. So can you memorize? Well, if you memorize your social security number, do you know your telephone number? How many birth dates do you know? In comparison to the Word of God, tell me, how important is that information? It's not important at all, is it? We're talking about something a trillion times more important than anything that we can memorize in this life that we're now living. God's eternal, precious truth that is the final standard for all matters of faith and practice. The benefits that you will reap are many, and others will be benefited by your diligence in God's Word. It's up to you. Know that if you try to memorize, you have embarked upon a battle. The enemy will try to stop you. He'll do anything and everything, disruptions, anything to hinder you. Maybe you'll go along well for 4 or 5 days, and then all of a sudden, your schedule will be interrupted. Well, if you can't do it the next day, don't be discouraged. We just throw in the towel. Go back. If you have to start from scratch, get back in the Word and start memorizing some. You'll find out the ones that you were learning, if you didn't learn them all the way through, you'll come back real quick. So don't give up. And you're going to reap a very positive benefit if you continue. Praise God.
None of these tapes are copyrighted, and you have our permission and are encouraged to reproduce them for free distribution. For a complete catalog of other available tapes and materials, please write Evangelical Outreach, Box 265, Washington, PA 15301.